The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Probably shouldn't blow my cover, but I often sit up in a tree and look down on people. Not just literally, metaphorically too. Meaning that, yes, I judge them from my high-altitude secret perch. In fact, I can see you right now, and I'm totally judging you. Because I'm up here in this... Whoop, whoop,
whoop! Oh-ho! Ha, I guess pride goeth before a fall, Todd Wilkerson. Ha ha. Hey, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We got to get serious, okay? We can't be kidding around all the time. I have in the studio somebody that I like to call David Limbaugh. David, can I call you that?
Yes.
Okay. You've written a new book called Jesus is Risen, Paul and the Early Church. We were talking about it yesterday. I want to continue the conversation just because the doors are locked and you can't get out. So this book that you wrote, it's effectively a commentary. Like when somebody says, oh, I don't know, reading the Bible is confusing, you've written a whole bunch of books, and this is the latest, in that it's like a commentary. You're helping the reader go verse by verse in a common sense way, and you're explaining it. When did you get the idea to start doing this for all of the New Testament? Because I just love it.
It is so presumptuous when you think about it that I decided to do that, and it's so daunting. And I don't mean that facetiously. I mean, who am I to be doing this?
Those people who know you are thinking exactly the same thing. They're thinking, you know what? I know David, and this doesn't make any human sense. It's got to be God.
That's the
only explanation, because everybody knows you're not that talented.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
You're not that smart, so it has to be God. How do you explain it?
I'm merely a vessel.
That's right.
As Dr. Tuttle said, a pastor, I'm an instrument of God's grace. You know,
yeah.
I don't know, because I wrote the first Christian book, and I go, man, there's so many people more knowledgeable and better at this than I am. And yet it came together in a way that I think was accessible to people that my buddy theologian or pastors could probably not have reached. A lot of them couldn't. And then I got the courage to do the next one about the Old Testament, the pointing to Christ. And then I did the Gospels, and I don't know. I really don't know. Every time I finish a book, I go, I didn't write that. Somebody else wrote that. I couldn't do that. And the same thing with this one. I go, before I start, I can't do this. I got to call Gregory. No, I can't. I signed a contract, but I was just kidding. But then I get into it, and I study. I immerse myself in it, and I go, yes, I can do this again. And now I'm doing it. Now I'm 24/7 violating the Sabbath, 4 months to write these things. I don't know. I just feel like there's something to studying this and sharing it in a way on people that are on the level that I was, that I have an enthusiasm that I want to impart to them. And I think I can help set some people on fire. And I've gotten great feedback on that from a lot of readers. And I don't know. It's just kind of my niche. I do think it's pretty bizarre that I'm doing this without having any formal training.
Oh, it's not bizarre. Listen, you know I'm teasing you. I do the same thing, okay? And of course, you know, we'd be arrogant fools not to have a moment of doubt and humility and to say, indeed, who am I to tell this story? But at the same time, Scripture is full of stories where God just tells people to do stuff and they say, oh, I can't do it. And the fact of the matter is, if God has called you to do something, you do it in obedience and you trust him with the results. And the fact of the matter is that you have a gift of communication. I find it interesting. Your brother, is it Russ? Rush also has a gift of communication. And when you have a gift of communication, which I am, by God's grace, also have, you want to use it to help people. And sometimes you can write a book on a subject. People write books on subjects just like this book, and it doesn't sing, it doesn't speak. It's sort of the kind of thing that it's an effort to get through it. And your books are not that way. And I'm glad that you've taken the time to write them, because we all need someone to hold our hand to walk us through the Scriptures. That's what this is.
You know, thank you. And you know, when I was in this position, maybe I said this before, I don't think I did, but I feel like I wish I had someone when I was first hungry and learning. I wish there was a shortcut. I want to consume. I want to inhale the Bible and theological knowledge. And I don't know how to do it. I just groped around, and I kept finding. I kind of did it the hard way. Kept studying things, and I do think I have a gift of discernment where I can kind of tell what's out there and what's mainstream, what's reliable. So I think I've been blessed with that. And so, and I'm telling that not to brag, but because I want to convince readers that I'm not one of those people that are out there. You can trust this stuff. It's mainstream theology and biblical thinking, and I just. Feel like I was in that position where I wanted to learn. So these books that I write are what I wish I would have had access to myself. Somebody had written, and I'm sure there are books like that that I didn't see, but these are my version of what I wish I had had 20 years ago when I was starting, because it would have really accelerated my learning curve.
It's so funny to hear you say this, because I swear I'm not making this up. I wrote three books of apologetics, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About God, But Were Afraid to Ask, Everything Else You Always Wanted to Know About God, Afraid to God to Ask, and then the last one is the Jesus Edition, Everything About God. And I wrote them exactly for the same reason. I said to myself, when I was in my 20s or whatever, I never heard any of this stuff. I just went blind, and when I finally became a Christian, you know, I found some great books. But I think a lot of the times people write books because they wish they had had such a thing when they were younger. And that is why I wrote my apologetics books. It's why I still write what I write. But you realize that there's a need for something for people who are hungry. And the fact is that there may be a lot of books, but a lot of them are not accessible. A lot of them are written for the layman, you know. And so that's why I'm so grateful that you've taken the trouble to go through scripture like this verse by verse. Now, for somebody who knows nothing about Paul and the early church, there are people listening right now, they don't know anything about it. Paul and the early church, what are we talking about? What year? What's going on? Give us the broad, you know, picture.
Well, Christ split history in half, by the way, another convincing proof of his existence. They reoriented time. So Christ was born, what, 6 B.C., 2 B.C., 0 B.C., whatever. And Paul was pretty much the same age. And after Christ was crucified and resurrected and ascended, Paul was around as an ardent Jew and a follower of the law and a student of Judaism. And he was a persecutor of the church. And so he's in his mid-30s probably, early 30s. And he's going around outraged that Jews are accepting Christ as the Messiah when he knows that can't be true. Because
okay, I remember when I learned this. I learned this the summer I came to faith. Now, I'd been an altar boy in church every week, and it just shows you going to church, you may learn nothing because for whatever reason. But I remember when I learned that the Apostle Paul, St. Paul, before he became the great leader of the Christian faith that we know, he was persecuting Christians. When I learned that, I thought, you want to talk about a conversion?
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. This was one of the smartest people of his day. He was a genius in terms of the scriptures. I mean, he studied under Gamaliel, who was the biggest teacher of the time. So Paul was an absolute genius, one of the smartest, most effective, a Bible people of his day, Old Testament people of his day. And he was using his faith and his knowledge to persecute Christians. So one day he has this thing happen to him. And you tell the story. I mean, this is like unbelievable, except we know it actually happened.
Let me tell you why. He believes that Judaism is authentically from God, that Jews are God's chosen people. And by the way, you and I believe that as well.
And by the way, Jesus believed that.
And he was a Jew. And all that was true. Everything he learned was true. But then the Christians come along. Christ comes along. He can't be the Messiah because he dies on a tree. He's hung on a tree, which Old Testament scripture says you're cursed if you do. He was also supposed to deliver, the Messiah was supposed to deliver a military and political victory. Christ went down in utter defeat and humiliation, apparently, and he couldn't possibly be what they were looking for. So no, this couldn't have happened. So Paul, doesn't just think the Christians are not a threat. They're starting a religion, even a competing religion. That would have been okay. No, they're twisting his religion and the word of God. That's a serious affront in his defense. I don't blame him for being outraged because that's what he was taught to believe. So he's on a mission to imprison, kill him, persecute him. He's on his way to Damascus. He asked for permission from the religious authorities in Jerusalem to go arrest these heretics in Damascus. And on his way there, he's blinded with a light.
Shazam!
Shazam!
We're going to come right back, folks. We're going to tell you the rest of the story. This is the Eric Metaxas Show.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542. And I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.
Hello?
I'm so glad we finally get to talk. Your email sounded like you're feeling isolated.
I need help. I've been feeling so low. I just need someone to talk to.
Well, I'm here, and I really want to hear from you. Why are you feeling so low?
Nobody understands me. I feel so alone.
Faithful Counseling is here to help. Our team of licensed Christian counselors want to help you get through this. We can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone or even video conferencing from the comfort of your own home. I'd like to give you your first week free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Let's talk. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. We really want to help you. It's so easy to get started and your first week is free. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Let us help.
The following is not an actor, but a real life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
I needed new blinds. I knew I could save a ton of money if I put them in myself, but I was nervous about measuring right and then installing them. That's why I went to Blinds.com. I'd heard their ads on the radio, how they're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings, but I still had to install them. So I called in my design consultant, Carla. She talked me through it all, from picking the right blinds to installing them. Plus, the online design consultation was free. Samples were free. Shipping was free. My home looks perfect.
This holiday season, impress everyone who visits your home with brand new made-to-order custom blinds from Blinds.com. Get inspired by before and after pictures, read reviews, and get the latest trends in colors and patterns at Blinds.com. And right now, you can save up to 30% plus take an additional 5% off site-wide when you use promo code SHUTTERS. That's up to 30% plus take an additional 5% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, promo code SHUTTERS. Rules and restrictions apply.
Thank you. This is for all the lonely people thinking that life has passed them by. Don't give up until you drink from the silver cup and ride that high.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm sitting here with David Limbaugh, who continues to write these marvelous books. The new one is Jesus is Risen, Paul in the Early Church. And David, my first question in this segment is, what do you need to do this show for? You're friends with Sean Hannity. He has you on his show, and the book goes to number one. So what are you? Why are you wasting your time? You should just be writing another book back home. Where do you live?
Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
You live in Missouri still. Yes. I love it. You're a Missouri man.
Yes. Sean's awesome. Great friend. Rush helps me. Mark Levin. They all help me. And I've been blessed. You have a unique perspective, a unique style of interview, and you're cerebral. You bring out things that nobody else does. I don't know. Is this a paid ad?
Yeah, it is. I was just going to say, I'm listening. This is pretty good. I better shut up.
But I told Lauren that. That's not my daughter. Lauren with Regnery. I told you that before this. Yeah, these interviews are amazing.
Well, you know, speaking of Regnery is the publisher of your book. Regnery is also the publisher of my book. It's called Donald Drains the Swamp. And I'll tell you something. I spent months thinking about writing that book. And then I spent an afternoon writing that book. And it is a fable. And I think Sean's going to have me on his program to talk about that. You'll see when you read it, because it's actually, it is so shallow that anybody can understand it. But it's really stupid and it's really fun. But Regnery is the publisher. So we share a publisher. We share a faith.
Yeah.
We were both kids in Missouri. Actually, that's not true. I was in Connecticut. But we were both kids. And here we are in the same room. What are the odds of this?
It's unbelievable. Small world deal.
It's incredible. Okay, so your book, you were just going on to say that the figure in this book, because this talks about Paul, St. Paul in the early church, this takes us really from the Gospels into Acts, right?
Yes.
So suddenly Jesus is crucified. He is resurrected from the dead. 40 days later, he ascends into heaven. And then everybody's standing around thinking, okay, now what do we do? Like, he's gone. He's ascended into heaven. We know he rose from the dead. Many of us saw him. We talked to him. But then we enter what's called the early church. And that's what your book talks about. It's like, what happened in those years, 40 BC, 50 BC, as Paul and Peter and the other apostles kind of fan out through the early world of that day. And we were at the point where you said, Paul, this incredible persecutor of Christians, is on a horse on his way to Damascus. He's causing a lot of trouble. People are scared to death of this guy.
Yeah.
And he's blinded by the light, knocked off of his horse, and basically has the ultimate conversion experience.
Yes. By the way, you said 40 BC, 50 BC. You mean
AD. Did I say that?
Yeah, AD. We've got to make sure the readers don't
think. Do never correct me in my radio show.
Yeah, sorry. Did I really say that?
I'm sorry. 40 AD, ladies and gentlemen. Anno Domini.
There you go.
In the year of the Lord. Okay.
And
so, yeah.
Yeah, so Paul, it's one of the greatest apologetic moments or evidences that Paul, who is this persecutor, ardent disbeliever of Christianity, becomes the greatest convert, and Christ commissions him to be the apostle to the Gentiles.
And the Gentiles means the non-Jews.
The non-Jews, that's all it is. Or they call them in the Bible Greeks. Can you relate to that?
You know, isn't that interesting?
It is.
They call them Greeks. And it says, but no, it says in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek.
Yes.
But only Lithuanians. And that's in a lot of manuscripts. Just to look into it. No, but isn't that interesting that Paul was appointed specifically to speak to those outside of the Jewish community? Now,
yes.
It doesn't mean that he didn't speak to people in the Jewish community to convince them that Jesus is the Messiah, but he was specially commissioned to go to those who were not part of the Jewish community, who did not go to synagogue, and to say to them, oh, by the way, the God that we Jews have worshipped is now available to you through Jesus. And God chose the Jewish people to bring faith in him to the whole world. And now the time has come that everybody beyond the world of the Jews can believe in the God of the Jews through Jesus. He's the bridge, and the time is now. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing, and also amazing, and as told in this book, which is about the Bible, that Paul always retains his heart for the Jews, for his people, and he tries and tries to convince them of the authenticity of this message and of Jesus Christ, and that he is really the Messiah. And in fact, the book of Romans, in part, is a lament. He's suffering so much agony over the idea that he can't convince so many of his Jewish brothers that Christ is the Messiah. And he talks about, ultimately, Jews coming around. By the way, I don't want to offend any Jews. I believe that we believe that Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and not the abolition of it, not the abolition of the Old Covenant, but the fulfillment of it. And the New Testament is a continuation of the Old Testament. It completes the picture. But I think that Christians, authentic Christians, have a heart for Jews, and everybody is the same under Christ. And you just said there's no Greek, there's no Jew. Everybody is offered this gift of salvation. And Paul is, you see the agony as he writes to the early churches who are deviating from the message, and you see what a raw human being he is. And he's writing just like it's today, because human beings and human nature hasn't changed in 2,000 years. We're fallen people, made in God's image, which is another paradox, and yet fallen. And Paul writes and pleads with these churches that he found, that he feels like that he gave birth to them in a literal sense, and that his kids are going off the path, and he wants to bring them back in a disciplinary sense to the true word of God, not for his benefit, but for theirs. And they also will become ambassadors to other Christians, and produces in multiples in that sense throughout the Roman Empire and throughout the world in history. And so this is a story, these epistles. Paul's writing to these people like the same problems that we experience today. They've got false teachers coming in there, puffed up on their own false stories, trying to build their own ego, or maybe demonically inspired to get people off the gospel. But they're in disharmony in their churches. They're making a mockery of the Lord's Supper and fighting. And he's giving them practical advice, practical mundane advice, how they get back to the spiritual practices. And then he's also getting very lofty as to Christian doctrine. And this is preserved. These weren't scripture when he wrote them. I mean, they were, but nobody knew it.
Right.
And they're preserved. They're letters to individual churches or individuals. And now they are preserved by God's providence to become letters for all Christians so that we can be edified.
Isn't this amazing? I mean, I always want to say this because I know there's somebody out there listening who doesn't know. When Christians talk about the book of Romans or the book of Colossians or whatever, what do we mean by that? What we mean is that this man, Paul, is traveling around the ancient world, creating churches, creating Jesus believer groups here and here and here and here. But then he keeps traveling, and the only way he can communicate with them is to write these letters. So he hears things from them. They write letters to him. And the letters that he wrote to them, we can just imagine what's going through his mind. He's not just like, oh, let me jot down a few notes. He's thinking, this may be the only thing I get to say to this group of people. So he takes tremendous pains to school them in doctrine, what's right, what's wrong. So there's all kinds of theological stuff in there. And then, as you just said, there's practical stuff because he hears about arguments about communion or this or that. And he puts it all down, not knowing that this would become part of the Bible. It's kind of an amazing thing.
It's an amazing thing. And another parallel thing, it's grounded in actual history, just like the entirety of Christianity is grounded in the history of Jesus' bodily resurrection. So here's Paul not writing some abstract theological doctrine that's untethered to real historical events. He's living this experience, and under the Holy Spirit's empowerment, he's writing these letters to the church that are steeped in practical advice and doctrine, not knowing that they're ultimately going to be available to us
right.
in a transcendent way. How cool is that?
I was going to say, that's what's so cool is that when you say in a transcendent way, when he was writing them, as you're saying, he didn't understand that they would become scripture for everybody. He just thought, I'm writing to this specific group of people, either in Rome or in Colossus or in Galatia or one of these places. He's writing to them. But the way he wrote, God used it to reach Christians forever and ever and ever. It becomes the word of God. And I do think that that's such a beautiful thing, because it transcends time. I mean, it exists in time as a piece of history, and yet it transcends time because, guess what? It's the Word of God. Before we go to the break, I want to remind you folks, this week only, we have a two-for-one sale going on. If you give to Alliance Defending Freedom this week, your money is doubled. So I want to say to you, please, if you can give this week. Just go to MetaxasTalk.com. I'll tell you more about it when we come back. But it's very, very important, MetaxasTalk.com. We need to step up while the stepping's good. Every penny you give is doubled this week only, so please take advantage of it.
And it calms my fears.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-452-6990. That's 800-452-6990. 800-452-6990. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
When it comes to your identity and the personal information on your devices, there's no soundtrack to let you know you're in danger. Today's digital world is so connected, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. Good thing new LifeLock now adds the power of Norton Security. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to detect threats like your personal info for sale on the dark web. And Norton Security helps protect up to 5 devices from ransomware and other online threats. Plus, if you have a problem, our agents will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But with LifeLock, we can help alert you to danger. Join now and get 10% off your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. Just go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code SMART. Terms apply. New LifeLock with Norton. More detection, more protection.
Hey there, folks. That's Free Bird, and that's why I'm lighting my lighter. Look, I want more Free Bird. Skynyrd! I'm sitting here with David Limbaugh in the studio. David, you probably don't have one of these fancy Eric Metaxas Show cigarette lighters.
No.
And you don't have to be a cigarette smoker to use that. You can use that if you have a bayberry candle or a vanilla-scented candle that you like to light, or perhaps a forest. You're in the forest and you got a campfire or something like that. Whatever you want to do. I'd like you to keep that as my personal gift.
It looks like a Pez dispenser.
It's not. It's a dispenser of fire. We're talking about your book, Jesus is Risen. Great title, great cover. That's so beautiful. That's a dove with the – it's absolutely beautiful. You mentioned that you've been to Israel with our friend Frank Turek. And so you've walked in the footsteps of all this stuff, have you not?
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
It blew me away. I did it, I think, a year and a half ago, although time goes fast. It could be 2.5. I think it was – yeah, Frank's awesome. By the way, you said – Jesus is risen, the title. Notice the verb, present tense. It seems a little weird. Not Jesus was risen. Jesus is risen. It's a present message because, as you said, it's timeless. It's in time and it's outside of time at the same time. And that's why the present tense.
Yes, I agree with you.
But why did I say that? I don't know. I just wanted to sound intelligent.
No. I like that. I mean, I think it's important to talk about. There are people who – everybody's different, but there's some people, usually Christians, they get very fussy about, like, they don't like anything, for example, that's mystical, right?
Yeah.
They're like, well, I don't like mystical. I just want the word of God. We're gonna, it was, yeah. Well, what do you think the word of God is?
Yeah.
God, it has created a door to heaven through these words on the page. Is that mystical?
Yeah.
Is conversion mystical?
Yeah.
Are angels mystical? The point is, we're living in a reality. There's the physical reality, and then there is, according to the word of God, according to the Bible, there is this mystical reality all around us.
Yes.
And I'm always amazed at how Christians can be the most guilty of getting nervous by that, you know, as though the spiritual world can only be a counterfeit of God. And you think, well, wait a second, you can go wrong in both directions. Some people think that everything spiritual must be good. No, there's a demonic realm and you should be really scared. On the other hand, there is an angelic realm and God and the Holy Spirit want to speak to us mystically. People don't like that word. Pick whatever word you want, in a transcendental way, in a transcendent way. But I think that it is important for us to understand that Paul himself writes when he's in prison. He's in prison and he says, I am seated with you in heavenly places. So in other words, physically we're here. But if we have been born again by the Spirit of God, we're always in two places at once.
Yes.
I'm physically here. But by faith, because I have been born again spiritually, I am with the Lord. And that's an amazing thing to try to comprehend that.
It is, and it's also similarly an amazing thing that behind the scenes, invisible to us, there is a level of spiritual warfare going on that affects everything we do, and it is a deeper level. And that sounds bizarre and weird, too, and people who are not believers or even believers who are disinclined to believe all of Scripture need to be advised that Paul talks about the spiritual warfare, the principalities.
It's like saying, I don't believe in radio waves. Like,
yeah.
I don't see them. Guess what? It's either real or it's not. And according to the Bible and according to most people I know, there is something beyond what we can see with perceive with our five senses. And the fact of the matter is, if you talk to most pagans, most people who do not believe in Jesus, they have probably had a mystical experience with something dark, with something scary. There is something beyond this world. The only question is, what are you going to do about it? That's not whether it exists. But most people have had strange mystical experiences. They know there's some ugly stuff out there that's not explainable in human terms. So then the question is, okay, will you accept Jesus? Because he's the only weapon you have against the forces of darkness, which are very, very real. And I often think sometimes non-Christians are much more aware of that than Christians.
And yet they cynically ridicule these kinds of beliefs that we're articulating, and yet they are readily willing to believe things that are far more far-fetched.
No question.
Like it just happened. Come on. I don't even have the patience to deal with that. It's so stupid.
I have had these like really Baroque miracles happen that are so outlandish. And then you say it to somebody, they go, oh, the mind is very interesting. And you're like, no, I don't think you understand what I just said. Like that, it has nothing to do with the mind. I'm talking about an out-and-out nuts miracle. And you're telling me like my mind concocted this? I mean, I guess a lot of times people are just, they're not logical. When it comes to spiritual things, they think they've got the right to fudge everything, or they've got the right to be sloppy. But you have no more right to be sloppy with spiritual things than you do with math or science. You've got to be logical.
Less right.
Even,
less,
right?
Yeah, and they have this idea that those of us who believe this really are a bunch of village idiots who haven't even considered the reasons not to believe in it, that we didn't have these same doubts ourselves. No, of course we had the same doubts ourselves, but yet we're convinced anyway.
That's the thing. I mean, I know that you and I, we had so much doubt that we didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And then something happened. Folks, we're going to be right back talking to David Limbaugh. The book is Jesus is Risen, Paul and the Early Church. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com this week and give to Alliance Defending Freedom. I'll give you details when we get back. But just go to MetaxasTalk.com. This is the week that your money is doubled, so please do it.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Hey, Albin.
Hey, yeah.
Can I tell you about Relief Factor?
Oh, please do. Please.
please.
No, I'm asking you, can I?
Oh, yeah, you may.
You mean I may?
You have permission.
But I tell you what.
What?
We've got somebody else who's going to talk about Relief Factor. Let's hear from her first. Her name is Sue. Here it is.
I have suffered with pain up and down my leg for 30 years, and it comes from working out. I was desperate, and I needed to find something that would help that pain. When I heard about the Quick Start program, I ordered it, and amazingly, it helped. I was pain-free.
Okay. Yeah. That's Sue, right?
Yeah.
Now, I was just with my relatives down in Atlanta for a wedding, and I was basically saying the same thing to them.
Wow.
I said, look, I advertise this thing on my program. It's called Relief Factor, okay? And some of them, they've got aches and pains. I said, trust me, the Quick Start Pack, $19.95, you get more than 3 weeks worth. If you do it, you'll know in 3 weeks. Do it, please. I'm begging you. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
My business is at stake because the government told me I can't live out my faith in the workplace.
I was arrested for handing out the U.S. Constitution on my college campus.
A state law is forcing me to advertise for abortion.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. Our fundamental freedoms are under attack. But the good news is Alliance Defending Freedom is on the front lines providing free legal services. They're arguing some of the most critical cases in our courts today and protecting your freedom and the freedom of your children and grandchildren, but they can't do it without your help. Go to MetaxasTalk.com right now, MetaxasTalk.com, and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. Your gift of $100 would help ADF defend your freedom and provide the necessary resources to fight these pivotal court battles. And thanks to a matching grant, your gift is doubled when you give now. Click the Alliance Defending Freedom banner at MetaxasTalk.com, or you can call 800-556-2770. That's 800-556-2770.
Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way.com. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the now national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. This book may not be for you, but if you're like most people, you'll be blown away when you learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. And as a bonus for hitting the bestsellers list, I've been gifted 250 copies from my publisher. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, I want to send you a copy of the national best-selling book. You can buy it on Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble or be among the first 250 people to reply. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776 to claim your free national best-selling book now. That's the word bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Just text the word bestseller to 49776.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Before I return to my conversation with David Limbaugh, I want to remind you that this week only, there is an offer. Somebody has offered to double whatever you give to the Alliance Defending Freedom. So I'm not putting this on here. This is the week, right? So if you don't give this week, you're missing out. I want to tell you, Alliance Defending Freedom defends anybody who is threatened in terms of religious liberty in this country. And as you know, I talk about this all the time. It is an outrage that in the United States of America, the government, really out of animus and ignorance, would dare to try to force people to violate their religious beliefs. A woman, Berenel Stutzman, she owns a flower shop in Washington State. Her whole business and her life savings were threatened because the state's attorney general in Washington sued this woman, okay? This humble woman. She refused to create fancy flower arrangements to celebrate a same-sex marriage, which is obviously within her rights. No matter what you believe about same-sex marriage, the idea that the government could compel her, it's like compelling her, to do something, to do anything that violates her faith. And so she really paid the price. And if it weren't for the Alliance Defending Freedom, she would have probably lost her whole business. Think about that, because it could be you. We've got a little clip from Berenel Stutzman. Here she is. Okay. 21 seconds. Okay. Anyway, so would you please help support this woman right now? This is, I'm telling you, folks, this is happening right now. This is a battle we're fighting right now. And it's for the soul of America. Once we allow the government to compel us to violate our faith, I mean, it's despicable that they're trying, but we've got to fight back. Alliance Defending Freedom, they're heroes in this, real heroes. I know these folks. So you can call this number, 800-556-2770, 800-556-2770, or just go to metaxastalk.com, click on the banner. Please do it this week. We return to our conversation with David Limbaugh. David, you've got to be excited that you're writing these books, because you're doing something that's going to outlast you. I mean, you're putting in the pages of these books stuff that people can read anytime, help them understand what the Bible says. You've just got to be proud. You're really accomplishing something for the ages.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be proud of these things. But
is your microphone on? Is this microphone on? Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, you probably are not supposed to be proud of these things, but I am. I feel really good about that I've gotten the feedback from a lot of people that these books do help people understand Scripture better and make them want to get into Scripture better. And as you say, that they will survive to some extent. I don't have any idea. And again, I don't take personal credit for it. Whatever it is, and this isn't false humility. We all know that Christians, that this has to be from the Holy Spirit if it has any lasting value, that's a positive value. And yeah, I'm humbled by it. I love it. It's just an exciting thing. It's an exciting period in my personal professional development that's more gratifying than anything I've ever done.
And what happens after this book? Did you say you're going to go into the other epistles in the Scripture?
Yes, I would have finished the New Testament after the Gospels with this book, but space limitations, which must be a demonic thing.
Yeah, that's that right.
I let the content speak for itself. It dictates the amount of space I'm going to cover. I don't try to artificially reduce it. I try to make it accessible but deep enough to impart what I want. And it just lent itself to these six books. Paul's missionary epistles, the ones he wrote on his three missionary journeys and on his trip to Rome. Now he's got seven. I've got seven epistles left to cover. I'm excited to cover those. And the rest of the epistles that the other apostles wrote, I don't think I'm going to have the audacity to tackle the book of Revelation. Well, maybe we could do that together, because we're weird together.
We could knock that out in a weekend. No, seriously, that's pretty big. But, well, I mean, look, part of the reason that you didn't want to do it all in one book is because once a book goes beyond 300 pages, people get weird.
Yeah.
And I think that Regnery probably smartly said, hey, please keep it to the kind of a size of a book where people will actually pick it up and buy it and read it and stuff. And again, you're very accessible. And so sometimes a thicker book fools people into thinking it's going to be very scholarly. Sometimes my bigger books have done that. People kind of get scared and stuff. And the fact of the matter is, no, that's just an appearance. But I just think the idea that you're basically annotating Scripture, I've thought of doing the same thing. I haven't done it. But the reason is that when you get into the Bible and stuff pops out at you, you get so excited, you want to tell your friends, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You find things and you just go, this is so great. I want to tell the whole world. And I want to – so I'm kind of glad that you're so excited.
Yeah, I used to do that in Sunday school, but you only reach about 20 people. And and plus, they know you, and they know you're not profound, so they don't listen anyway.
So you taught Sunday school?
Yes.
At your church in Missouri?
Yes. Yeah, sporadically, like once every 2 years I'd do it. Two-month class or three-month class.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Does Jimmy Carter still teach Sunday school?
I don't know, but my daughter doesn't talk about nuclear warfare like his daughter did.
Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't need to get into that. Did Amy Carter talk about nuclear warfare?
It's traumatic to hear it. I know.
If you're the kid of a president, and I know a lot of them are listening right now, Be careful what you say, because just because you're the son or daughter of a president of the United States doesn't mean you need to tell everybody what you think. But that can, it's a great temptation.
It is.
Well, let me just say that the idea that you're writing these books again. This is what number is this? What number in this series? Sort of.
I think this is the fourth. It is the fourth, ninth book overall, and fourth Christian themed book.
Okay, so you wrote a book that talks about your conversion, which we covered yesterday. You wrote a book that talks about how the Old Testament points to the New Testament and to Jesus.
Then the Gospels. And
then
now.
The last one you did was the Gospels, and then this one, which is Paul and the early church. And I think so many people are so confused about the basics of what happened. They need a primer on it. What I love, we were talking about this before, the scripture is so fascinating that you find new stuff in it all the time. All the time. I found the other day, my pastor was preaching a sermon on Luke 5, where Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, says, cast your net out in the boat there, and they catch a zillion fish, and they're all freaked out. They don't know, how did this happen? It's insane. Well, it dawned on me while I'm listening to the sermon that in John 21, at the end of the ministry, after he's died and risen, and before he ascends, he says to them, hey, cast your nets on the other side of the boat, and the same thing happens. And it's because of that that Peter realizes, holy cow, it's Jesus, and he dives in the water. And I thought, I've never made that connection, and I went online. Nobody else seems to have made that connection. There's so much stuff in Scripture once you look into it. We're going to be right back talking to David Limbaugh. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show.
I'm so fearful. I feel like my world is about to come crashing down around me. I can't even get to sleep at night. This constant dread is wearing me down. I can't put my finger on it. Nothing's actually wrong. I'm just so unsettled. I don't know what to do.
I think you may be experiencing anxiety.
I just want it to stop. I want to feel normal.
When was the last time you can remember feeling calm?
Faithful Counseling is here to help. Our team of licensed Christian counselors want to help you get through this. We can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone or even video conferencing from the comfort of your own home. I'd like to give you your first week free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Let's talk. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. We really want to help you. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Let us help.
Is gold and silver part of your portfolio? If not, let me tell you why it should be. The value of the dollar continues to diminish, and we're heading into a crucial midterm election that could have a substantial impact on the stock market. Noted economists are warning of a stock market crash. The time is now to secure your wealth with precious metals by calling the Gold Silver Group today at 800-679-0870. The Gold Silver Group is here for you with low prices and fast shipping on all precious metals delivered to your doorstep. Don't wait for politicians to decide your future. Safeguard your wealth from Wall Street, big banks, and corrupt officials. Whether you want a precious metals IRA or a private investment, don't wait for another collapse like 2008. The world is changing. Are you ready? Call the Gold Silver Group now for free information at 800-679-0870. That's 800-679-0870. 800-679-0870. That's 800-679-0870.
Sworn it was me. I might have found out sooner if you'd only let me close enough to see. That ain't no way to treat a lady, no way to treat your baby, your woman. Your
hey there, folks. We've got Helen Reddy in the studio with David Limbaugh. David, you know what? I remember you were around the same age. You correctly said, this is that Helen Reddy? And I thought to myself, I remember the first time I heard that song, I was watching the Carol Burnett Show, And so this would be like 1974, 75. And she had on Helen Reddy as her guest, and she sang this song on it. But I mean, I remember that like it's a minute ago, and Shazam, it's over 40 years ago.
It's scary.
What's going on around here? It's a good thing we're outside of time. Otherwise, you know, you and I are.
For sure.
You know, eternity is outside of time and also in 1975. Yes. That's just a fact. Okay, so you've written a book called Jesus is Risen. What happens after this? You're promoting the book. Once you've been on Hannity, you don't need to do any more promotion. I've been very clear about that. So you're just killing time right now by being on this show. But
he
makes it go to number one by having you on his show. And then you got to write another book. So are you going to start writing this other book now?
Yes, I'm thinking about. You know, you have to admit, as a book author, you got to be a little bit mercenary in terms of timing. Everybody says, all the publishers say, the best time for book sales is right now. The sweet spot is approaching Thanksgiving and Christmas and in the fall. And you see all the great books, a lot of great books coming out. I've done it otherwise, like having one of these Christian books come out on Easter. And I'm not sure how it plays out ultimately. But I would like to start the new book as soon as possible to get it in time for this next season. But I'm not sure that's the way to go because I'm not sure it's not too hurried. I have to let the content speak for itself. And if I get it in time, fine. If I don't,
I
gotta wait.
I don't think you want the book to come out next fall because I got a book coming out next fall.
Then I won't.
And I will crush you.
I will make this commitment now.
Between now and then, I'm gonna get on Hannity's good side. He's going to have me on. I'm going to convince him. I'm going to poison him against you. He's going to have me on. My book's going to go to number one. Actually, in all seriousness, I have a book coming out next fall. It's the story of my coming to faith. I've never told that story in book form. So I am very excited. I'm working on it right now. And I'm excited about that. But that'll come out like next September or something like that.
I'm excited to read it. But enough about your book.
Enough about me. Don't you have a book out called Jesus is Risen?
Yes.
Honestly, this is it's just wonderful that you have done this. Congrats to Regnery for publishing this kind of thing. Because most of the people at Regnery are heathens and Satan worshipers.
Oh, absolutely.
I shouldn't say that on the air because Salem Radio owns Regnery. But you know what? I'm all about speaking the truth, you know? And, because I know those people. There's pentagrams all over those studios. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's just horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But seriously, you are going to write another book. So the only question is you don't know if it's coming out next year or the year after that.
Right. But I'm going to get started as soon as the promotion phase ends with this.
Well, I think you're reaching a lot of people who just might they might not pick up another kind of book, and so these are commentaries that don't look like commentaries. So I love that,
and I want to speak to people who are considering buying this book and inclined not to.
Yeah,
I will hunt them down.
You want them to buy the book,
or there'll be hell to pay.
We're gonna visit them. We're gonna rough them up.
We're gonna rough
in
them up.
In the Lord,
yes,
not in a fleshly way.
No.
We're gonna rough them up. In the Lord. I don't know what we're saying anymore. It's time to end the program. My friend David Limbo, I got to say, this is wonderful. Congratulations on the book, Jesus is Risen.
Thank you so much.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.